Good morning. Welcome to the Stutzman's Home and Garden Show. I'm Dave Wilson. Jason French is here as well to answer your lawn and garden questions at 869-1330-869-1330. You can also send your question this morning to the KNSS Facebook page. Hey, good morning, Jason. How are you doing today?
Hey, good morning. I'm doing great. It is amazing outside this morning.
Yeah, beautiful start to the day. Going to be a nice looking weekend as well. Good chance to get out and finish maybe some of those summer tasks in our lawn or garden, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And then I imagine we'll have some listeners headed towards Hutchinson for the Kansas State Fair we got going on. So lots of great things to do with this good weather.
Absolutely. Going to be a fun weekend. Let's first start off by talking about you've got a summer sale going on this weekend at Stutzman's, right?
Yeah, with this changeover in weather and everything to fall, we are bringing in all of the new fall things, from pumpkins and corn shocks and straw and mums and asters and all of that. So we need to move out whatever we have left from summertime. So all of the summer annuals, you know, different size baskets, planters, those types of things, those are all half price. And then any of the spring and summer perennials, shrubs, things like that, those are all half price as well. You know, the only thing it doesn't include is going to be all the new fall things, you know, the fall plants, the asters and pansies and mums and pepper bowls and some of those things that we're just getting in. But yeah, we need to have a space to put all that new stuff. So half off on all of those summer things.
Yeah, great deal going on this weekend at Stutzman's, the summer sale. All the info on the Stutzman's Facebook page, by the way, you can see it all there. Mum is the word for September, right? That's your plant of the month.
Oh, it is the plant of the month. And yeah, hard to believe it's already September, but great plant. I know, you know, majority of our fall mums are used as fall decor on, you know, porches and patios, and you know, you add the pumpkins and all of those other things, but they are all the ones Stutzman's grows are all the hardy or the garden mums, so they can actually be used as a perennial as well. So, you know, a lot of great uses. And then, you know, some things to think about with mums as well. They don't all bloom at the exact same time. There are early blooming ones, which you're seeing color on now, and then you have mid-season, which is, you know, over the next couple, 3 weeks, and then you have the late season that take you into October. So, you know, depending on what a person's wanting, you know, if we want a big grouping that's going to be blooming all at once and that great big pop of color, you know, we'll want to get ones that are either all, you know, showing the same amount of color, buds about the same size opening, or, you know, later blooming ones are going to have smaller buds, or may not even be in the stores yet on all of the varieties because they are developing. But when we're planting them, we need to think about that too. Do we want, you know, our planting all to bloom together as one big colorful bunch, or are we going to put some different ones in different places that, you know, can have some color from now until the end of October? So it's kind of a neat thing with mums that you don't always see on every other perennial.
Yeah, you're going to find all those different kinds of mums at Stutzman's right now during September. That, of course, is their plant of the month. If you have a question this morning about your lawn or garden, 869-1330 is the number. Area code 316-869-1330. Jason, I saw a video this week on your Facebook page about the variety of patio planters that you have available. Maybe let's talk about those here for a minute.
Yeah, and, you know, some of those are going to be some of those summer things that we talked about, and, you know, you can get a great deal on those. But, you know, at some of the locations, you'll find planters that may have, you know, mums and kale and maybe some pansies around the edge, some of those fall-type planters as well. And so, you know, great way to either get a pre-made one, or if some of your other ones at home that you've had are looking a little tired, you know, we can pull that stuff out of it and put those individual things back in, use some of the ones maybe you might see as some inspiration. But, you know, just because summer's kind of winding down on those plants doesn't mean we necessarily have to quit having the nice pots on our patio. And, you know, some of those things, the pansies and kale in there, you know, they're going to last well into winter. And, you know, depending on the size of your container or if you plant them in the ground, pansies often overwinter and even will give you some spring bloom. So nice way to really extend that period for several more months of nice color in your pots.
Absolutely. Let's get to a Facebook question here. Heather is asking, is September a good time to dethatch our yard?
It would be a good time to do that. And, you know, if you've taken a little chunk out of the lawn and took a look at it, and that little stemmy brown layer is more than an inch or slightly more, you may need to do some dethatching. And what that is it's a machine usually that you can rent, and it has it's under a cover, but has a rotating shaft with little fingers on it, and you set it to get basically almost a ground level. It doesn't really need to dig into the dirt, but those fingers will pull all of that stuff up and leave it all on the surface where you can, you know, bag it with a mower and get it off of there or rake it up off of there. But fall is a great time to do that. If you're doing that, or if you're not, if you don't need to do that, aeration also is another good lawn practice this time of year as well. And it's another machine, and its rod has kind of tubes on it almost, I guess you'd say. Then the fingers go in the soil and they pull up this little 2 or 3 inch long plug and drop it on the surface, and that loosens up that soil. So it kind of helps with compaction if you've got dogs or kids or a pathway to the street that's always walked on that the grass just doesn't grow quite right. A lot of times aerating will loosen that up as well. But yeah, September and October, those are our times to really rejuvenate all our cool season grasses, from, you know, thatching to aerating to overseeding, or, you know, worst case scenario, reseeding.
Heather, thank you for your question this morning. Heather sent hers via the KNSS Facebook page. That's one way to get your question to us. You can also call us at 316-869-1330. Let's talk about vegetables for a minute here, Jason. Which ones grow the best in September?
You know, it's a little bit different this September so far with the temperatures we've had. But, you know, a lot of your plants we had through summertime, as we get a little relief from the heat, a lot of times you'll get a nice flush of new growth, get some nice fall tomatoes setting on, and they're a little slower to ripen, but you know, still plenty of time for that. Peppers really kind of rejuvenate. A lot of times our squashes are really productive again in September, but I know with the cooler weather we've had and the raininess, I haven't had quite the production on those the last week or two, but you know, those are all usually still going pretty well. And then, you know, if you seeded some lettuce or any of those other greens, this weather has been perfect for them to come up, and we could still do that. You know, other things, they should probably already be started, but broccolis and cabbages and cauliflowers are all, man, mine are growing like crazy with this kind of weather we've had. So perfect for some of those fall garden items.
Yeah, it sounds like it with this cooler weather. Who can complain, right? We're enjoying this cooler weather.
Hey, I will take it. I mean, I'm okay with what I see in the forecast being back up around, you know, 80s or so. And I'm not ready for it to be cold yet, but I sure am glad it looks like most of that 100-degree nonsense is finished for the year.
I second that motion, Jason. I like that 100-degree weather to be gone as well. Hey, I came across a story I was going to ask you about. A study at the University of Colorado Boulder found that 20 to 30 minutes of gardening a few times a week can reduce stress and lift our mood. Plus, they say the active engagement of nurturing plants, making decisions, and seeing those results over time adds a layer of meaning and satisfaction to the average person. Now, I've seen on your Facebook page about how much you all, of course, consider gardening to be good for your health. Well, here's more evidence of that.
You know, I cannot argue with any of that. It is extremely stress relieving for a little while. And like you said, it doesn't have to be that I'm going to go out and slave away all day doing stuff. I mean, there's certain times when you're planting or doing things that, you know, it takes some extensive time. But a lot of times if you've already got stuff planted, for me, it's the end of the day. A lot of times when I get home and I'll, you know, walk out to the garden and see what needs picked and what might need a weed picked here or there, or see how everything's going. And it is a good way just to kind of disconnect for a minute. And there is great satisfaction in seeing different things grow, whether it's, you know, food items like the vegetable garden or, you know, the flower gardens and things like that, and just seeing different things at different times of the year. That's one of the things I really like in my landscape beds, is I try to pick different plants to incorporate in there so that there's always something going on. And just that few minutes of, you know, maybe this needs a drink, maybe this needs a little shaping, but it is a great stress reliever for me more than anything else. But, you know, a lot of times for some people, depending on your day and what you did, just going out and walking around, doing a little bit of that physical movement is good for the body and the mind as well.
Yeah. And like you pointed out, some of those tasks, it takes a little while to see the results. On the other hand, if you go out and mow the yard and you weeded it, you're going to see immediate results and get that immediate satisfaction.
Yes, and that's one thing that I think people have been having to do quite a bit lately. But with these temperatures and with the later time we're getting in the day, too, maybe next time after you finish mowing and it's been mowed, be a good time maybe to drop that mower down just a notch. We don't want to mow, you know, too short or anything, but we don't necessarily need quite that shade cover and that sun protection that higher mowing height we mow in the summertime does. So, you know, I think we're good to move it down a notch and have it be a little bit shorter and a little bit thicker this time of year. That lets more light in and encourages that thickening while we're in a growing time. You know, in the middle of summer, the grass grows, but we don't get a lot of that thickening and new production. So we let it be a little taller and kind of shade it in there a little bit more.
Good mowing tip right there. Matt has a Facebook question for you. He says he lives in an area with lots of trees, so he has moss growing on the lawn. He says when they tear it out, it always comes back and wants to know how to get rid of it for good.
Well, that's a little bit tricky, the for good part of it. But, you know, there are some different things that we can do. You know, if it's a grass area, you know, be sure that we get something. And there's other ones, but like Stutzman's, we have an extreme shade blend, and it's for those really, really shady areas. And that grass is able to grow a little bit better there. As we keep it thicker, that grass is able to shade out some of that mossiness. Some other things, you know, moss needs a couple of things to grow real well. It needs shadier conditions, and it needs soil that stays kind of moist on top. And so, you know, some of those areas, if we can kind of try to practice less frequent watering, but more, a little bit more when we do water, soak a little deeper, we're able to allow that surface to dry down a little bit, and you won't have that problem. And then there also are some things that spray that you can use. And there's, again, I'm sure there's many brands of it, but Bonide makes one called Moss Max is what it's called. And you put it on the hose end and you can spray it out there. Won't kill the grass, but it'll kill those mosses and algaes. And you can use it on soil. Sometimes people have a tree overhanging part of the roof, and you get some of that on the roof. You can use it there, on the steps, different places as well. But that's another option that, you know, you may have to once or twice a year spray those areas with that to keep that moss back and let the grass be able to thicken a little bit more. But yeah, just remember, if you can get less shade and more drying between waterings, the moss naturally will be less happy.
Matt, thank you for your question this morning. Matt sent his via the KNSS Facebook page. That's one way you can ask your question about your lawn or garden. You can also call us at 316-869-1330, 316-869-1330. I know we've touched a little bit on mums today, Jason, but when it comes to our front porch and we're trying to choose between mums or pansies, what are some things we should consider?
Well, why choose? Why not both?
That's a good question.
You know, there are different, you know, aspects of it. The mum generally will give you much more height. So if we're doing, you know, pansies, we either need a taller pot or, you know, we may have to flip a pot upside down and set one on it to get them up a little bit higher. But pansies, great plant for fall. And like I said, a lot of times, you know, depending on your container or ground planting, you're going to have them in the spring as well. It's usually not until it gets really hot that pansies kind of become a pansy and get all stretchy and gross in the heat, but all through the cool time, really good plant. Mums, you're going to get much more of those traditional fall colors, you know, the bronzes and reds and yellows, where pansies generally are brighter. I mean, there's yellows and reds, but there are those more intense brights, and there's purples and blues in that as well. So, you know, different uses, different things. Or if you have a larger pot, you know, a lot of times we'll put the mum to the back because it's a little bit taller, and then do the pansies around kind of the front area where they can spread, and they don't cascade, but they'll mound out over the edge of that pot a little bit, and, you know, you can kind of have a little bit of both in there. But mostly it's going to be the size, I would guess, that would be more your determiner. Do you want something taller like that in plant-wise, or, you know, the pansies are only 4 or 5 inches tall when they're blooming, so not a large plant, but they get pretty broad and have lots of color to them, just not quite the height.
All right, good determinations there about if you're going to plant mumps or pansies, or why not have both, as Jason says? Put them both in your on your porch.
And maybe throw a kale in there. I think that is one of the most underused fall plants that we have, is the ornamental kales. I know, like, this time of year, they're interesting looking, but they're not super colorful. They need some of those cool nights that are coming. But some of those kale are going to be 12, 18 inches across and then develop brilliant pinks and reds and whites in the centers of them. Very colorful. And again, another one that it takes until we get into the hard winter, usually, before those might freeze out, you know, Christmas time or January when we start having closer to zero temperatures. So, I mean, that's something you could plant now and have September, October, November, and probably December. So 4 months of use out of it. So pretty good value also.
Yeah, kale, another option right there for your front porch. You're listening to the Stutzman's Home and Garden Show this morning. We're going to take a quick break here and find out what's going on at Stutzman's this weekend.
If your plants could talk, they'd all say Stutzman's.
Stutzman's Greenhouse.
If your plants could walk,
Stutzman's Greenhouse.
Good morning, everyone. Thanks for listening to today's broadcast of the Stutzman's Home and Garden Show. More with Jason coming up. Summer is almost over, the kids are back in school, and it's still Stutzman's season. Hi, this is Ben Miller. Brighten up your space with our absolutely stunning perennial hibiscus, plus all our stores are now receiving beautiful mums and asters. Mums starting at $4.99. And while they last, our selection of gorgeous summer hanging baskets and planters are buy two and get one free. We invite you to visit one of our 12 garden centers throughout Central and Western Kansas, and you can find us on Facebook and Stutzman's.com. Again, this is Ben Miller. Have a great day. Enjoy the rest of the summer with family and friends, and we hope to see you soon. Now back to Jason and the Home and Garden Show, brought to you by Stutzman's Greenhouse and Garden Centers, where we are wrapping up summer and look forward to fall.
At Stutzman's Greenhouse, everything's green with us.
And you're listening this morning to the Stutzman's Home and Garden Show. I'm Dave Wilson. Jason French is here from Stutzman's to answer your lawn and garden questions at 869-1330, 316-869-1330. You can also send your question via the KNSS Facebook page this morning as well. Jason, we had a listener call and wanted to ask you about her fescue yard. It sounds like she has a reoccurring problem with a section of it that is dying, and she thinks it's fungus. And what she's asking is, can the fungus get into the soil so much so that you have to replace it?
Well, not necessarily. I don't know that that's really going to help a whole lot. There are some things that a person can do environmentally that can help somewhat sometimes. Generally, areas that have poor air circulation are more prone to that. So, you know, if there's tree limbs that can be limbed up, or, you know, other things that'll kind of open that area, let a little more airflow in, that can help as well. probably one of the best things a person can do is when you reseed those areas, make sure the blend you're using has some really brown patch resistant varieties in there. I know one of the varieties in our five-star grass blend, I believe it's the Rising Moon, has, you know, extremely high resistance to that brown patch. So, you know, overseeding those areas with some of these new varieties that are much more resistant will also help. And then if that's perennially been a problem, you know, maybe July, we might want to go through and just put a fungicide on those areas. It's a granular you can spread out, and that would kind of help ensure that it doesn't get started and going. One of the other key things, too, that we need to remember with fungus, nitrogen really helps it to multiply. So a lot of times after, you know, about mid-June, we don't really want to fertilize anything on our grass, you know, late June, July, August, while we're in that time frame. And then come September, once that infection period, I guess you'd say, is passed, we can start doing our fall and winter treatments. But too much fertilizer right at those fungus times, too, can really aggravate that. So hopefully that'll help a little bit. I think getting some of those new varieties seeded in there and just having something that's more resistant to that will help. Removing that soil, I mean, there would be so much that would have to be removed, not to mention that it can be, you know, blown in or tracked in from somewhere else to start. So I don't know that that's really going to be a good solution. If that soil is real hard and compacted in that area, you know, an aeration or something may help that soil breathe and be a little healthier. But I don't know that I would remove a bunch of it.
All right. Julia has a Facebook question for us this morning, and she's asking, what is a pre-emergent herbicide and when should she apply it?
And that is a good question this time of year because, you know, most people know about using pre-emergence or weed preventers in the springtime. We think of crabgrass and foxtail and some of those that we put it on early in the spring. But if we're not doing seeding, because a pre-emergent keeps seed from sprouting, so we can't do both. So if we're going to seed this fall, we don't want to do any pre-emergent now. But if we're not seeding, using that pre-emergent in the fall as your fall treatment and even as your winterizer treatment can help prevent some of those weeds we see pretty early in our lawns. That purple blooming henbit, that is a winter annual, so it comes up through the winter time, and then all of a sudden it's a big plant already in spring. And then there's a couple of grasses that people really struggle with. Little barley is one that a lot of people have trouble with, and then cheatgrass is another one. And both of those are winter annuals as well. If you think of our Kansas wheat crops, they plant that wheat in the fall. It sprouts up and lives and grows through the wintertime. It's a winter annual. It turns brown and dies off when we get hot. Well, those winter weed annuals do the same thing. They sprout in the fall, they grow up and they're green, and then all of a sudden when we get hot, you've got these little clumps and patches of brown grass where they've died off. So if we use that pre-emergent this time of year when we're not seeding, we can prevent a lot of that. And again, if we're not seeding, I would use it. If you've had a problem, I'd use it for my fall and my winter treatment.
How much should we be watering this week, Jason?
Well, this week, probably not a whole lot. I mean, our containers and things aren't quite the same, but, you know, depending on where you are listening, I think, you know, even out west, they got some pretty good rains this week. So, you know, this with the cooler temperatures, an inch, three quarters of an inch over a week on our grass is going to be plenty. So, you know, this time of year, that might just be a couple good waterings, maybe just one good watering. Sometimes we tend to have our sprinklers still set from summertime, and we're really putting a little more water on there than we need to. So you do take a look at that and see, but Mother Nature has been very kind to us the last few weeks.
Yes, she has. Before we go, let's remind people about your sale you have going on this weekend at Stutzman's.
Yeah, of course, come in and check out all the great new fall stuff coming in. Mums, asters, pansies, corn, pumpkin, straw, all of that. But we do have some good sales on some remaining summer blooming annuals, as well as some of the summer perennials that we had. Perennial hibiscus would be a great example. Those are all half off. And I know we've wrapped up on Colorado peaches, but we are working on, we have Idaho peaches now. Oh. So peaches for another week or so as well.
Sounds good. Jason, a lot of great info once again this week. We will talk to you next Saturday.
Sounds good. Thank you. Bye-bye.
And thank you for listening this morning to the Stutzman's Home and Garden Show. We are here each and every Saturday morning at 10 o'clock. We hope you join us again at the same time next week. Have a wonderful weekend.